I will start off today's message during the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah. Now King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon comes into Jerusalem and lays siege to it. The Lord hands over Jehoiakim to Nebuchadnezzar, along with some items from the temple of the god. And along with these, Nebuchadnezzar tells his chief court official, Ashpenaz, to bring some of the Israelites along. They had to be of royal families and nobility, young men without any physical defect, who were good-looking, well-versed intellectuals who could be groomed for the king's service. Now among them was Daniel, whose name means God is my judge, and Ananiah, which means the grace of the Lord, Mishael, which means he that is the strong God, and Azariah, which means the Lord is a help. They're taken to Babylon for 3 years of intensive training for entry into the king's service. They were given new names. Daniel is renamed Belteshazzar, which means keeper of the hidden treasures of Bel. Hananiah is called Shadrach, which means inspiration of the sun, one of the Chaldean gods they worshipped. Mishael is named Meshach, which means the goddess of Shach, under which name Venus was worshipped. And Azariah was named Abednego, which means the servant of the shining fire, another one of their gods. They were to receive food and wine from the king's table. Now this was not favorable for Daniel and the others. They refused to eat non-kosher food. Sin was not going to enter through their mouths. We are told that God caused the official to show favor and sympathy on them. Now the official, however, he wasn't dumb. He said to Daniel, you have to eat. If you don't, you will look worse than the others in training. Who do you think the king's going to come after then? It's going to be my head, not yours. So they strike up a deal. Give us nothing but vegetable and water for 10 days, and then compare us to the others. And after the 10 days, they looked healthier than the others who were given the king's food. Now on a side note, when I read this in the Bible, the first thought that came through my mind was that little old lady from Wendy's commercials. Where's the beef? I can't get excited when my wife comes home and says, oh, honey, you'll never guess. Boyer's was running a great special. Look at the artichoke hearts I got. Gee, honey, did you pick up the spinach as well? Where's the beef? They go before Nebuchadnezzar, and after interviewing them, he finds them more knowledgeable. In the Bible, it says 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters he has in his kingdom, with no one equal to them. They are entered into his service. Now, though they did not force them from their religion, they did what they could to persuade them to worship the Chaldean beliefs. That's why they renamed them. I think we would call that indoctrination today. Now King Nebuchadnezzar, he has a dream and he can't sleep. He calls the enchanters, the magicians, the sorcerers, and the astrologers to tell them what he dreamed. No one can help him. The astrologers tell Nebuchadnezzar, you tell us the dream, and we'll give you the interpretation. King's response, if you do not tell me the dream, there is just one penalty for you. Now the astrologers are starting to backpedal. They tell the king, there is not a man on this earth who can do what the king asks. No king, however great and mighty, has asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or astrologer. What the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, and they don't live among men. Nebuchadnezzar becomes furious and orders the execution of all the wise men. Now this includes Daniel and the others. Daniel asks Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah to plead for mercy from God concerning the dreams, so they won't be executed with the rest of the wise men in Babylon. Now during the night, the mystery was revealed in a vision, and with that, Daniel praised God. With God's help, Daniel gains the favor of Arioch, commander of the king's guard. He convinces Arioch to take him to see the king. When they get there, Arioch convinces the king to see Daniel. The king asks Daniel, are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it? Daniel replies, no wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mysteries he has asked about. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. After Daniel reveals the dream and its interpretation, Nebuchadnezzar falls down and pays honor to Daniel, saying, surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords and a revealer of mysteries. For you were able to reveal this mystery. What happened to Daniel? Daniel gets elevated to chief of the magicians and placed over the entire province of Babylon. A little while later, Nebuchadnezzar has another dream. It's a dream about a tree. He summons his chief of magicians, Daniel. He says, Belteshazzar, I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in you and no mystery is too difficult for you. Here is my dream. Interpret it for me. After interpreting the dream, Belteshazzar, aka Daniel, says, therefore, O king, be pleased to accept my advice. Renounce your sins by doing what is right, and your wickedness by being kind to the oppressed. It may be then your prosperity will continue. Remember, before Nebuchadnezzar fell down and acknowledged Daniel's God, our God. He praised the God who rescued Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah from the furnace, but yet doesn't acknowledge God for who he truly is. And because of that, the dream comes true, and Nebuchadnezzar is kicked out of power, forced out of the city, and to survive must eat grass and drink the dew to quench his thirst. It says, with his hair growing like feathers of an eagle and nails like claws. It is only after he raised his eyes toward heaven and acknowledged the Most High was he restored. After his death, Belshazzar takes over. And during a great banquet for 1,000 nobles, they were praising the gods of gold and silver, of bronze and iron, wood and stone, drinking out of the trinkets that they took out of Judah. When Belshazzar sees fingers of a human hand right on the plaster of the wall near the lampstand in the royal palace, he turns pale and his knees are knocking. Now he calls the magicians, the enchanters, and astrologers to him. They couldn't provide any help. Now the queen mother remembers Daniel's skills and he's brought in. Belshazzar tries to buy Daniel to help him with the dream. Daniel refuses. But he interprets the vision anyway. And he says to Belshazzar, God has numbered the days of your reign and brought it to an end. You have been weighed on the scales and found wanting. Your kingdom will be divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. And after he interpreted the dream, Daniel was dressed in purple with a gold chain around his neck, and he was proclaimed the third highest ruler in the kingdom. That very night, Belshazzar was murdered, and the kingdom was taken over by Darius, a Mede. Now Darius, he plans to make Daniel the administrator over the whole kingdom because of his exceptional qualities. This didn't bode well with the other administrators and satraps. They tried to find grounds to charge Daniel with, but they could not because Daniel was trustworthy and either corrupt or was he negligent. So they get together and they hatch a plan. They beg the king to issue an edict and enforce a decree that says, anyone who prays to any god or any man other than you, king, for the next 30 days should be thrown into the lion's den. Daniel's busted. They knew he prayed 3 times a day, giving thanks to God, and that he wouldn't stop. They caught him. And the administrators and satraps pushed the issue until Darius relented. Does this have a familiar ring to it? How about Pontius Pilate and Jesus Christ? Daniel was thrown in the lion's den and a stone was placed over the den, sealed with the signet from Darius's ring. Now Darius, before he leaves, says to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you. Once again, the king does not sleep. That's 3 times so far the king didn't get his sleep. And in the morning he hurries to the den and calls out for Daniel. Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God! Has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? Daniel answered, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done anyone wrong before you, O king. Does anybody know what happens after that? Overjoyed, the king orders Daniel to come out of the den. And when he does, lo and behold, there are no wounds on his body. The accused is free, and the accusers, what happens to them? They, along with their wives and children, get thrown into the den. And before they hit bottom, those lions that weren't hungry that night suddenly were ravenous, and they were crushed. Now King Darius issues a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. And it is said that Daniel prospered under Darius the Mede and Cyrus the Persian. Thus ends your history lesson for today. What can we learn from this and apply in our lives to lead a Daniel type of life? And for you men, this has nothing to do with becoming a eunuch. You don't have to worry, you're not going to be castrated. It says that, doesn't say whether Daniel was or wasn't. When we read the story of Daniel, we know the outcome. He didn't. He knew God's abilities, but not God's plan for him. We know God's abilities. Do you know the plan for you? He only knew that he wanted to live to honor God. Daniel knew that he couldn't survive without opening his heart to God. For God's word is the milk, meat, and bread of life. But prayer is the breath. You can survive without food and water for a period of time. How long can you live without breathing? Now Daniel, he was a teenager when he was taken into captivity. And for over 60 years he was in Babylon. Yet his faith never wavered. Everything he did for God. It's the same true in our lives. Is quiet time and prayer a daily ritual in your life? Here I am, God, search me. Do you take everything to God in prayer? Everything? Do you wait for an answer? When Daniel found out that they were executing the wise men, the four of them got together and prayed. The answer was revealed. Group prayer can avail much. He served as an advisor under four kings. I think we've had many more than four advisors, most of us, right? Presidents, senators. He did his job and was given more responsibility. He was moving up the political and corporate ladder. But who was ahead of him? God was foremost in his life. Wouldn't it be nice if our political system was that way, where God is front and center in every decision made? Where instead of trying to attack someone so that you get ahead for a vote, he actually came up with a plan for the country. The election is coming up very soon, and it's very important. And I'm not going to tell you who to vote for, as I really don't care for any of them myself. Is it because the pay is less than a CEO of a company that we get who we get? Maybe if we increase the pay, we get better leaders. Right now, you could probably make a case for us being in a lion's den in Babylon. Does anybody turn the news on today and hear something good? Do you read the paper? Is there anything good in the paper? The stock market is going to pieces. The war. Banks and lending institutions needing financial help to prevent a crash. People shifting away from religion and focusing on their own pleasures. What can you do? You can do like Daniel. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Because prayer is needed now more than ever. One man, one woman, one child can make a difference. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we go forth today, allow us, Lord, work with us, Lord, and live in us, Lord, to be the kind of Christians we need to be. Help us, Lord, to be more patient, more kind, more understanding. Help us to lift someone up instead of take someone down. Help us to be better husbands, wives, fathers, mothers. For it is in your name that we offer this.